You're listening to the Household of Christ podcast. Be encouraged and inspired as we dive into God's Word.
February is the month of love. So we're going to talk about relationships because we need a lot of help and guidance from the Word of God when it comes to relationships. And as I was preparing and praying, there was something that the Lord just dropped in my heart. You know, when we got married, this year we'll be married for 32 years. And all of us, when you get married, the minister is going to ask you, do you accept this woman to be your wife? And you say, yes, I do. And my sermon topic for today is, a yes goes a long way. A yes goes a long way. When your yes has got your heart's full agreement, faith is released. Many relationships don't fail because of a big no. But it's all the small missed yeses that oftentimes destroy relationships. It's the small yes that makes it better. Yes, I will help. Yes, I'll go and pick up the kids. The yes, the yes, the yes, the small yes. Turn to the person next to you, say, your small yes counts. When I talk about a yes in marriage, yes, I do. It's not a convenient yes. It's a mutual yes. We even say, for better or for worse. Through sickness and through health. Till death do us part. Amen? It's not an easy one to just say. Relationships, friendships are all built upon a willing yes, a mutual yes. And that yes goes a long way. Matthew 5 verse 37 says, but let your yes be yes and your no, no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. A yes that has your heart's full agreement goes a long way. Everybody has given a yes and didn't keep to it. You don't have to raise your hand. You can just blink at me. But you become a good husband, a good pastor, a good wife, a good child when your yeses that you can keep becomes more than the ones that you don't. Can I have an amen? Because the only relationships that God honors are those that are mutual, where there's mutual trust, mutual commitment, mutual sacrifice. And these things are based upon a yes that people can count on. Let me be the first to say, I have given a yes to people and not been able to keep it. I've given a yes to my wife and not been able to keep it. But then I'm quick to go to her because my intention is to keep it, to go make right. Say, listen, I cannot keep this yes, but here's the plan. Or I cannot keep this yes, can we do it this way? I cannot keep the yes to go for a coffee now, but can we postpone it till here to do it another day? Am I talking to the right people here this morning? Think about this. Before Jesus came to this earth, for God so loved the world that he gave, he needed a yes from Jesus. God the Father needed a yes from Jesus that I'm prepared to lay down my life. And because Jesus said, I'm prepared to, yes, Father, you can send me, he came. And because Jesus said yes, it makes it possible for all of us to say yes. Can I talk to husbands for a minute? Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. The way that Jesus loves us is how we should love our wives. He's challenging our mindset, the way that we think. Because when you're God, you are served. When you are God, you are honored. And he says, I know that you're the head of the house, but I want to change your way of thinking as the leader, as the head, to love her the way that I love the church. Can I have one amen from one man, please? A yes I will love her the way that you love her, Jesus, goes a long way. Not the way she makes me feel, not what is comfortable for me. That day you got married and you said, yes, I do. And you loved her with all your heart, to love her like that and even more. Jesus gave himself. That means, husbands, we should be ready to give of ourselves. A yes to say, I'm going to give of myself, goes a long way. It's not the big things. I met with the care pastors yesterday. I say, it's not the big things. I said, it's the small things. It's the 1% that you do better every day, compounded, that makes a marriage great. Luke 16 verse 10 says, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is also unjust in what is much. So the small things matter. Big breakthroughs come through small obedience. Big breakthroughs come through a lot of small yeses to do the right thing. It's not always what she's asking, but what can you discern and know in your heart, be aware of, that what is her need? I'm just talking to the husbands for a while. Because if we as men can get it right at home, it will sort out a lot. If we want this to be the standard, and I mean, I can quote all the scriptures that's convenient for us as men. Wives must submit. Listen to me. I can quote that. But the Bible says submit one to another first. As you submit to God, it makes it easy for her to submit to you. It's very quiet here today. Just turn to the person next to you and say, I love you. Can I tell you something? A relationship, a marriage, is saying yes even when it's not convenient. And to keep to it. There are sometimes situations and circumstances where you cannot keep your yes. But then you are quick to repent and you are quick to communicate and you are quick to make it right. A small yes to go for a coffee with her goes a long way. To go and sit and to listen. Listen to me. Can I speak to men? I teach the care pastors because we want to be spiritual. I said, when you listen, number one, listen to hear what the person is saying. That's a good relation. Listen what they are saying. Number two, listen what they are not saying. Listen what they are not saying. And number three, then listen to their hearts. Listen to what's going on in their hearts. Because people won't always tell you the full truth. Can I speak to dads? We're here to serve our families, our children. I thank God for my wife that's helped me so much with my daughter. You know, it's not just your wife that will ask you for a coffee. Your daughter might ask you, Daddy, I want to go for a coffee. And you got like, oh, okay. And when you meet with her, you think she's going to tell you, you're the best. You're the best dad. You're the greatest. I love you, my superhero. And then she says, there's a guy at school. Listen to me. If you give her a no, she's going to close up and never talk to you ever again. I would have had a no like that if I didn't listen. My wife said, this is deeper. Listen. A yes instead of reacting goes a long way, Daddy. Especially when she starts saying, he's smiling at me and I think he's cute. The no, nobody is good enough for my daughter. Yes, I'm listening. And acknowledge her feelings. Listen to what she is saying. Because a no at the wrong time can destroy a relationship. You young ladies, you owe me one. Amen. Those of you that are planning to speak to your dads. And dads, when you've messed up, go make right. Amen. It's sometimes that yes when it's not convenient. You know, let me tell you something. The day before Hope met Jovan in church, I was busy preparing and still wanted to go through a lot of things. And she said, Daddy, can I talk to you? You know, and then when your wife gives you that crayfish eyeball, then you know, of course, I don't want to pray now and prepare for it. Let's talk. And we spoke for hours. And the long and the short is, sometimes they just need reassurance. You need to listen to what they are saying, what they are not saying, and what's in their hearts. Because you as a father can often, maybe an insecurity, help them deal with that. Or just be that confidence to help them. I'm not saying they should marry the person or go up, but use wisdom. But it was that night where I spoke until after 12 about a guy that I've not even met. And I said to her, you know what? He could be in church tomorrow and sit in the second row. And lo and behold, who do you think sat the next Sunday in the second row? Jovan. Amen. One little small yes. Yes to showing up. Yes to making a coffee. Yes in helping with the small things that seem ordinary has an extraordinary effect in your relationship. Yes to honoring God when nobody's looking goes a long way. Your yes to come to church goes a long way. You know, the latest thing, all the fun things, it seems like it's on a Sunday. Car shows, children parties, everything that wants to take your children away from church. Listen to me, we taught our children, they can go to a party on a Sunday, but it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. If it's 10 o'clock in the morning, Jesus first, church first. Amen? And you might not see the results now, but you'll see it in the future. A yes to teach your children the ways of God. Can I have an amen, parents? Amen. It's a yes that's your responsibility. As the church, we are there to help you. But it's your responsibility to say, yes, I'm going to train my child in the ways of the Lord. It's all about the yes to love God. That's what it's about. If you teach your children, yes, we love God. Yes, we put God first. Yes, then that's what they will do. Matthew 22, verse 37 says, Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the great commandment. And the second to it is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love is not an option. Love is the measure. Love is not an option. Love is the measure. When you are a Christian and you are born of love, that's why you must be born again. You must be born again. The Bible teaches very clearly in John chapter 3, if you're not born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Nicodemus was a spiritual person. He knew the Bible. He taught Israel for 30 years. He came to Jesus and he said, listen here, I've been teaching for 30 years. You've been teaching for 3 years. Why is this happening? Why is there signs, wonders, and miracles? And he said, if you're not born again, you cannot see it. If you're not born again, you cannot enter into it. He was saying you need to move from a place from just being spiritual to being spirit-filled. Can I have an amen? It's the problem in our church right now. We're running after people that are spiritual, but they're not spirit-filled. God so loved that he gave his only begotten son. John 3:16. Why is it so important to say yes to God and to love him? Because the Bible teaches us the thing that you love the most, you will become like it. So if you love God the most, you'll become like God. And a matter of fact, you'll be given over to the thing that you love the most. So if you love money, you'll become like money. Cold and hard, calculate like that. But if you love God, you'll become more like God. If you love your job, if you love anything more than God, you'll become like that. Can I tell you something? When you as a Christian have purpose and said, I'm going to say yes to God, the devil does not mind your yes that you give to God, as long as he can get you to start to say yes to other things. Listen to me. I'm talking about a yes that goes a long way. An overflow of Jesus' love has never destroyed any marriage. But it's when people start saying yes to small other things that come into their lives, it destroys relationships. Marriage is holy. It's holy. That means God is involved. And a marriage that is holy, that is dedicated, consecrated to God, there's a blessing that rests upon it. And the devil cannot curse it. Can I have one amen? Amen. Listen to me. The Bible teaches that what God has blessed, no man can curse. And we've got the story of Balaam in the Bible, where Balaam wanted to curse God's people. Remember, Balaam came to him and said, I'm going to pay you money, come and curse God's people. There's a whole teaching. He came to him and he said, listen, these people are coming. God is with them. The Holy Spirit is with them. God is fighting for them. I cannot let them come. We're next in line. He said, Balaam, come and curse them. God said to him, they came and they said, come with us. And God said, no. And he didn't go. Then they brought more money. More goods. And said, please come. And he asked God for a second time, can I go? And God said, okay, you can go, but just say what I say. Now, that there's a lesson in that already. Many of you, God has given you a clear no. But then because there's a lot of things that looks very attractive, you go back to God and say, oh, can I just go? I'll just do what you want me to do. Obedience. But here's the thing. Balaam cannot curse God's people because they are blessed. Listen to me. A marriage from God that is blessed cannot be cursed, because God's favor and blessing rests upon it. What did Balaam do? What did Balaam do? Balaam went to Balak and he said, listen, I know that these people are blessed. And I know that the favor of God rests upon them. And I cannot curse them because they are blessed. But I'm going to tell you what you should do so that the favor of God will not rest upon them anymore. That judgment will come upon them. And he said, I'm going to show you how you slowly turn their hearts away from God. Turn to the person next to you and say, warning. Revelations 2 verse 14. But I have a few things against you. This is not Old Testament, New Testament. I have a few things against you. Because you have there those who hold to the doctrine of Balaam. What is Balaam's doctrine? To entice people to turn their hearts slowly away from God. Who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of God. Or the children of Israel. To eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit sexual immorality. Listen to me, young people. You can say yes to God and come to church. But if you say yes to eating things, partaking of substances that you should not, it's going to take you away from God. Sexual immorality. What did he do? They sent the daughters of Balak, the Moabites, in between them to entice them. Ooh, these are beautiful people. The women are in. Entice the men. And they started to have sexual relationships with them. Their idols came into their homes and it turned their hearts away from God. If you start saying yes to small things which are not of God, it will take your heart away from God and it can cost you your salvation. Fornication is still sin. Adultery is still sin and it can cost you your salvation. Don't play around. Do you love that person so much that you're prepared to go to hell for them? We don't like this kind of preaching, Pastor. I have to tell you the truth, because Jesus is coming back for a church without spot and without wrinkle. If he cannot attack you and destroy you, you know what's his next strategy? He tries to destroy you through attraction. Showing you things that is attractive to become a part of that. There are many things in this world that attract people. People in the world. Balaam was spiritual. The Bible says he could hear God's voice. He knew what to do to hear God's voice, but he was not spirit-filled. Because if he was spirit-filled, he would not give advice for a whole nation to be killed, stealed, and destroyed. Am I talking to the right people here this morning? Turn to the person next to you and say, your yes goes a long way. Listen to me. Nobody falls out of love overnight. You don't fall out of love overnight. It's something that happens over a time when you start saying yes, a small yes for the wrong thing. Let's go. Somebody in the office says, let's go for a coffee. But it's not work-related. And now you go with a lady or you go with a gentleman that's not your wife or your husband to just have an innocent coffee. What's one coffee? It's nothing. You haven't done anything wrong. But that 1% going in the wrong direction, 2 years from now, you're not drinking coffee with your wife anymore, but with a lady at work. Ana. What is just looking once at something on your phone? Not pornography, it's just not very well dressed. Anybody can see it. But it's when you start looking over and over and over, that's the danger. You start saying yes to this. Job said, I've made a covenant with my eyes. I don't look upon a virgin. What does it mean? I can see when another girl is beautiful, another woman is beautiful. I can see that and I can acknowledge it. But I only look at my wife. Can I have an amen, gentlemen? Can I tell you something? When you look at your wife and you only look at your wife, that's the only picture that you've got. But the problem is when you're looking everywhere, that's when you get confused and you've got, we have to pray for you for the whiplash because every time you... I can see and acknowledge, but I look here. I look here. One drink is not going to cost you your marriage, not going to cost your relationship. But the way that you build is through improving 1% each day. Loving her 1% more today than yesterday. That I can do. But if I start loving her less 1% today, over a year, over 5 years, over 10 years, compounded, it's like interest. It kills you. Constant small yeses to choose, I love you. I forgive you. I'll serve you. Yes, I'm going to be your strength. Be my strength. This is what it's about. A yes, God, you can have the rightful place in my heart. And not saying yes to small things. You know, if you climb in an airplane and you're 5 degrees off and you want to fly to London, you're probably going to end up somewhere in Asia. And it's the same in your relationships. That one small innocent thing, that when you know it's wrong, stay away from it. Jesus said in John 13, verse 34, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. People don't know that you're a disciple of God. People don't know I'm a disciple. It's because I've built a church, because we have a church here. That's not why I'm a disciple. Because I have a title as a pastor doesn't make me a disciple. It's my love for God, number one, and my love for people. And the first place where people see it is my love towards my wife, my love towards my children. Because if I get it right at home, I'll be able to get it right at church. Amen. You know, my dad, I wanted to say passed away last year, but it's actually 2-3 years ago already. My mom is here. But my mom called me the day, and I was there when my dad had the stroke. And when I saw it, you know, the only thing that went through my heart at that moment was, did you love your dad enough? That's what went through my heart. Did I love him enough? Because that's the currency in heaven. Love. It's not the buildings that we build. It's how much can we love? That was what went through my heart. And we have to ask ourselves, am I loving my wife enough? Am I loving my children enough? Am I loving the congregation enough? Am I loving people enough? Because success in heaven is measured with love, not the things that we have. How many people can we help? How many people can we serve? How many people can we lift up? How many people can we give opportunities? That's the measure. Jesus actually said, listen here, when they don't love you and they curse you, bless them. He says, when they despitefully use you, pray for them. He's saying, move in the opposite spirit. When they say, no, I'm going to hate, then say, yes, I'm going to love. When they say, no, I'm not going to help, say, yes, I'm there, I'm going to help you. When you keep the word of God in the center of your heart, the Bible says love is perfected on the inside of us. Nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect, but when you try and make this the standard for your life and live by it, love will be perfected on the inside of us. And when love is perfected on the inside of us, it will change your behavior. 1 John 2:5 says, but whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. So when we keep this word, we make this the standard for our lives, not try and reason from here, like a Balaam. There are many people that are spiritual, but they're not spirit-filled. A church would be spirit-filled. That's what makes us different as household of Christ. There are many churches that are spiritual, but we are spirit-filled. The Holy Spirit is welcome here. We don't do anything to offend the Holy Spirit in this place that He would say, I'm not going to be here. That's why we can invite people and say, come. That's why I can say, come and commit for 1 year and see what God will do in your life. Because I know it's the Holy Spirit. When you're in God's presence, you will change. When you say yes to God's word, it changes everything. It might seem ordinary, but it has an extraordinary effect in the spirit. You know, at the beginning of this year, I wanted to pray for a lot of things, but I asked God for one thing. I said, God, can you just make my heart as soft as it was when I just accepted you? Can you fill my heart with your love like when I just encountered you for the first time? Because many of us, during our walk, is that small little thing that creeps into our heart, that affects our heart, that your heart is not soft the way that it should be towards God. Many people say, yes, I will forgive, but no, I'm not going to forget. Listen to me. A yes, I'll forgive, a no, I won't forget, will harden your heart. And if you have a hard heart, an offended heart, and you die, you can miss heaven. Finishing strong is when I close my eyes and my heart is offense-free. Can I say that again? One of the definitions of finishing strong. Yes, give the Lord a hand. A yes, I will love you softens your heart. But if you are offended and you keep that offense in your heart, you can go read Hebrews 12. Be careful lest you fall short of the grace of God and a root of bitterness springs up. When you fall short of the grace of God, you can say, yes, Jesus, I love you. But if you've said, no, I'm not going to forgive, you're in trouble. Can I take it a little bit further? One of the things that troubles my heart, this nation of ours, South Africa, I love it so much. God has called us to make a difference in this nation. But how can 85% of South Africans identify as Christians, but we have 63 people murdered every day in this country? How can 85% of this nation identify as Christians, but there's 63 people murdered every day. Yesterday 63, today 63, some statistics say even up to 75. That's just short of 23,000 a year. How can that be? Rape and sexual offenses are being reported. 116 cases a day with 85% Christians. That's almost 45,000. People that are saying yes to Jesus, but this is going on. Serious assaults against women. Is he going there? Yes, I'm going there. 172 cases a day. 62,780 a year. 85% saying yes to Jesus. There's something wrong. You know what's the scary part? 46% of physical crimes, assaults, are against children. Children, little babies, innocent people. I think it's 45.9% of crimes reported against children. How can 85% say that we are Christians? There's something wrong in the statistics. And it's not the statistics. There's something wrong with the Christians. There's something wrong. I haven't figured it out. I've got two things that I can submit to you that I think. The one is, from Scripture, Mark 7, verse 67. He answered and said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching doctrines and commandments of men.'" Can I tell you what it is? We're saying with our mouths, "I'm a Christian." But we've allowed a lot of yeses in our hearts that has compromised our hearts that we are not Christians. The second thing is, there are many people that are convinced they're spiritual, they serve God from here, but they're not born again from here. Because if you are born of love, if you are born of love of God, the love of God that comes from heaven, that is pure, that is holy, 1 Corinthians 6, 17 says, "He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him." If you are joined with that love, how can you still hate? "But they hurt me. They hurt Jesus." I want to see a nation turn back to God. I want to see a nation turn back to God, but we have to turn back to God. There's only one way. The Bible says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves." That's the humble, humility. Call upon my name, turn from their wicked ways. The things that you are saying yes to that heaven does not approve, get it out of your life. It's not a matter of combining Jesus with whatever, but believing in Jesus and living for Jesus. This is household of Christ. Christ is in that name because we live for Christ. Turn to the person next to you, say, "Your yes goes a long way." Let me just say, yes, I want to live like Jesus, but my wife will tell you, "I've made many mistakes." Yes, I want to be like Jesus. My children will tell you, "I've made many mistakes." But when I make a mistake, I'm quick to say sorry. I'm quick to say sorry, to repent. I want to close with this. God comes and He brags about Job and he said, "Have you heard the things that Job said yes for?" He says, Job is saying yes to things. Did you see it? He goes to the devil and he says, "Devil, check this boy out. Look at what he's saying yes." Job 1 verse 8, I'm reading. God said to Satan, "Have you noticed my friend Job?" My friend. There's no one quite like him. He's honest, true to his word, totally devoted to God and hating evil. Oh, wow. Yes. Let's pray this for our children. Let's pray it for our families and pray it for the church. The New King James says he's blameless. He's not perfect, he's blameless. He's trying to do it right. And when he makes a mistake, he's quick to fix it. He's blameless, he's upright. Try to do it in the right way. Will the world try and push you this way and that way? Yes. Are we going to make mistakes? Yet, but we're trying to be upright. It says he fears God. The fear of God is to hate evil. The Bible says he shuns evil. All these things, he's saying yes, 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 but no to evil. Can I just say, true friendship and honesty comes from the heart. I can sometimes honestly say to my wife, let me meet you for a coffee at 12. And then I cannot make it. But she can understand because she's got a serving heart and I've got a serving heart. And I say, I'm so sorry, this came up, I cannot make it. Or this situation changed. And I can say sorry and I try and fix it. But I try and live that my yes goes a long way. Is there evidence that your yes goes a long way? Is there evidence that you're a true friend? Is there evidence that you love God above everything? Or is there evidence that your heart has been compromised? When you give Jesus the rightful place in your heart, things will start to work out. But people don't give Jesus the rightful place, and then they say, God, where are you? But we're not giving him the rightful place. In what area of your life has God been waiting for you to say yes? A small obedience in the natural has an extraordinary effect in the spirit. You saying yes to Jesus brings salvation into your life, and everything starts to change. I'm going to close with a small testimony. Testimony that probably saved my marriage. Testimony about a yes. We got married within 6 months. God told me it's my wife, and we got married within 6 months. I highly not recommend that. I tell young people, don't do what I do. Do what I tell you to do. Don't get married within 6 months because you don't know the person. Especially if you're marrying somebody from a different culture, different traditions. There's a reason why God or Abraham told his servant, go to our people and go get a wife there for my son. Because otherwise your first disagreement that you will have will be about food. Like our first disagreement was about food. Am I talking to the right people here? Just because you have a yes from heaven doesn't mean you're not going to have to work hard. It was tomato, tomato, potato, potato. It was like, gee, God, what happened? Have you ever had a moment like that? It's only pastors that go through that. But you say, God, did I miss you somewhere? And honestly, I was at a point. This is almost 30 years ago. Let me just say, it's not something, 30 years ago. And I went to God and I said, God, give me one thing that we have in common. You know, when you're not, oh, Jesus, I was like, God, I need one yes. Because I don't know how I'm going to go on. Am I talking to the right people here? Then to the person next to you, say, I'm so glad only pastors go through that. I said, God, give me one yes. Give me one thing that I have in common with this woman. Because it feels everything, potato, patata, tomato, tomato, like. And God spoke to me and he said, it's fine. I'm going to give you the one yes. But I never ever want you to come to me again and ask me this. And it's like, okay, give it to me. Because, you know, sometimes we think we can outsmart God. And God said, fine, I'm going to give you the one yes. And you never ever come back to me with this again. This is the wife that I've given you. And I said, fine, God, give it to me. You know what God said? You've got me in common. I said, that's not fair. But I accepted the victory. And I said, let it be according to your word. And today, 32 years later, she's still the one. But more than that, God is the one thing we keep at the center of our lives. And God does not become one of the things in our lives. He is the thing. And if you go to and you ask, who does she love more than me? She'll tell you, God. And if you come to me, I'll also tell you, the person that I love more than my wife is God. But after that, it's her. Saying yes to forgiving. And when you have an English wife from the Free State who was head girl, they can give you a hard time. But you know, when you've got an Afrikaans guy born in Pretoria with a special Afrikaans accent, they can also be very stubborn. And that's why you need God. You need to marry somebody that will say yes to God so that God can be at the center. That's why you cannot be unequally yoked. A yes may seem ordinary, but it has an extraordinary effect in the spirit. And when you have challenges and difficulties in your relationship, here's what I want to close with. What did I do? I went to God. I reached up. And when you come to the throne of God and you say, God, what is the way out? What do we have in common? Guess what? When you come to the throne of grace, your problems might not change overnight, but you will change. Because at that moment, I had a change of heart. And my heart changed. And when your heart changes from the inside out, your marriage can start getting better. Am I talking to the right people? We're waiting for our spouses to change to start to say, yes, Lord. And God says, no, you first say, yes, Lord. Can I have an amen from one lady? God does not ask us to be perfect, but He does require of us that our yes is a heartfelt yes in humility and sincerity of heart. Because when we come in humility and sincerity of heart, the Holy Spirit can affect it. But when we are arrogant and full of pride and boastful, we cannot draw near to God. Because God resists that kind of a person. But when you humble yourself and say, I've messed up. Yes, Lord, help me. I need you. Without you, I cannot do it. The Holy Spirit will come and help you. So in your heart, the yes has your heart's full agreement. It releases faith, and God will take you from glory to glory and from strength to strength.
Thanks for listening. Visit www.hoc.org.za to learn more. Household of Christ, loving God, loving people.